done.
What? Oh.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a beautiful day, and it makes me happy. So please stand up for My Redeemer Lives.
I know He rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe.
What? What you say?
I believe.
Oh, that's what you said.
My shame is taken away. My pain is hid in His name. I believe.
What? What you say?
I believe.
Oh, that's what you said.
Always a banner of my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I know He's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sins. I believe.
What? What you say?
I believe.
Oh, that's what you said.
My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe.
What? What you say?
I believe.
Oh, that's what you said.
I'll raise a banner. Oh, my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. He'll lift my burdens, and I'll rise with You. On this mountain top to see Your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. 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 My Redeemer lives.
All right, thanks everybody. You can be seated now.
Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Victory.
stand with us for the theme song?
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have, I give to you, my God. Take my hands and make them bleed. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Oh, here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, I am yours.
God in heaven, I want to thank you so much for this week we have to share specifically with you in prayer. God, I want to ask a blessing on our speaker tonight for the rest of this week to bless us even more than he already has with your words, God. I want to ask that we would leave with a blessing and a life lesson to share as an insight. God, just Grant us with your characteristics. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish anything through you. In your name I pray, amen.
That was beautiful, you guys. Hearing you sing behind me, oh, actually took me back a few years, Stephen. I was thinking when you were a student and doing the student week of prayer thing, and we'd meet over with the group over at Paulson's when little Michaela Paulson was just a little, had to go to bed. Oh, you know, Stephen is a simple example of, through the years, what a blessing it is for an old codger like me to see Jesus working through people like you. And it's great to have one of us remind us again of those most important things. So, we welcome Stephen and Jesus back tonight.
Pastor Fred. Thank you, Pastor Fred. You know, it was Pastor Fred who first taught me how to share the Word of God and how to preach. And I was telling him, Pastor Fred is right here that I preached my first sermon. And there are so many people, as I look back through life, that had an impact on where I eventually ended up in life. And one of the greatest impacts of my life comes from you, Pastor Fred. And so thank you so much. And I just hope to pass on a little bit of what you gave to me here at UCA. So let's give it up for Pastor Fred. He's a blessing. Thank you. Thank you. When I first became a youth pastor, I had a group of guys that came to me. And I knew they had a big manly request because they were speaking kind of in their low voices. And they said, Pastor Stephen, we want you to take us somewhere. And I said, where do you want to go? And they said, we want you to take us paintballing. And I said, I've never gone paintballing before, but I'm in. Let's do it. And so one Sunday, we just had sort of a man day, and we went out to this place called in Estacada. Just kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a place where you can play paintball, and they gave me a paintball gun and my camouflage and my goggles, and I was all ready to go. And we got through the first game, and I was feeling pretty smug because, quite frankly, I had shot two of them, and I had not yet been shot. So I was feeling pretty good about life and living. Partway through the day, I was shot right in the back, and I learned that those paintballs, they sting a little bit when they hit you. And we were in our last game of the day, and it was a game they called Attack and Defend. And they had built this tree house. And then below the tree that held the tree house, they had taken old sheets of 4x8 plywood and built sort of a wall around this tree that had the tree house in it. And up in the tree house, there was a bell. And we had to defend the bell. If they rang the bell, we would lose. And so we all got into position inside of the walls of this tree fortress. And the rules of the game were 10 minutes, and if the bell doesn't ring, we win. If the bell rings, the other team wins. And so we all got in our places, and I found this really great spot. It was right inside the wall, and what I did is I put my back up against the wall, so I was facing inside, and then every once in a while I could just kind of pop up and find people, you know, and shoot at them, and then I could get down real fast again, so I had this sweet spot. And so there was a referee. I didn't know there were referees in paintball, but there was a referee with a whistle, and he blew his whistle, and the 10-minute timer started. And immediately, people were making, like, really loud yelling sounds, and guys were making, like, intimidating grunting sounds, and you could hear the paintballs flying through the air, and they make this sound, this bzzz
sound. And then they just splatter into trees and into people and these kinds of things. And every once in a while, I would pop up and look around, and I'd see someone, and I'd pop, 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 and then I'd go back down again. And it was getting crazy. We were about halfway through. We were about 5 minutes into it. And I was feeling really good about it overall. I was feeling like we were probably going to take home the win. And it was especially loud. You could just hear paintballs flying everywhere. People were yelling, screaming. It was becoming a little bit chaotic. And in that moment, I felt something cold against the side of my head. And I heard a voice from above me as I was crouched behind this wall. And the voice said three words: surrender or die. One of my students, and of course it was the biggest one, he's taller than I am, probably has 50 pounds on me, he had snuck his way all the way up to this wall and had peered over, and hey, look. And so he had just reached his arm over the wall, and the barrel of his paintball gun was against the side of my head. And I thought, at least he gave me options. Surrender or die. And in my mind, I said, none of the above. None of the above. His name was Chevy. And I reached up in a moment of sheer brilliance. And I reached up and I grabbed his arm. And using all of my body weight, I pulled down. And it flipped him over the wall. Huh? He's laying on his back looking up at me now. And I, it's not right. And I put my foot on his chest. And I said, no, Chevy. You surrender or die. Huh? Yeah, that's not at all how it happened. I so wish that's what happened. When I heard those three words, surrender or die, my hands shot into the air. And with a voice that would make a soprano jealous, I said, surrender! Surrender! Don't. And then I took that walk of shame, if you've played paintball before. And you take that walk of shame back to the sidelines, and everyone's like, where'd you get hit? I didn't. I surrendered. Ah, surrender or die. Surrender or die. I'm convinced tonight that Christ has made a call on your life. And the call is not surrender or die. The call is come to me, surrender and die. Surrender and die. You know, Paul's one of my favorite authors. He's very confusing at times. He was very intelligent. And sometimes he's a bit hard to follow, but as you read Paul, one thing stands out, and that is that he understood the gospel. He understood that God offers sinful people eternal life. He understood that salvation is not about what I do, but about what God has already done in Christ. And he was going around giving this message that salvation comes not by works, but by faith, period. And people were freaking out. They were freaking out. Paul, what about the law? You can't just go racing all around willy-nilly talking about Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, Jesus that, because people will forget about the law, and the law is so important. And so Paul addresses this. He's just kind of spelled out the gospel, and he addresses this in Romans 6, and he says this: what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He knew the question would come, and like a good teacher, he asked the question before anyone else could ask the question. And he says, look, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he says, if I sin and Jesus gives me grace, wait a minute, if I want grace to increase, I should just sin more. And Paul says, wait. Oh, man, when you were coming over, how many of you looked in the mirror on your way over? Come on, don't be shy. Yeah, a bunch of you looked in my mirror on the way over. And you know, you wanted to make sure your hair wasn't too windblown. You know, when you hold a mirror outside, I discovered tonight that you really see the difference between men and women. Okay? I had a very specific gentleman who will remain nameless, who came up to the mirror and got about 4 inches away from it, kind of looked in it, kind of flexed in it, and he was like, whoa, I'm even better looking than I remember. See, that's a guy reaction. Girls would come up to the mirror and they'd look at it, oh no, and they'd rush into the church. And then there were all those are kind of the two extremes, and then there was the middle, and many of you just came up and you're like, oh, Pastor Stephen, you thought of everything. Thank you so much. That would have been so awkward, and you're checking your hair, and you're doing your hair outside before you come in. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Some of you, let's be honest, needed the mirror for your hair. Okay? Some of you did. And so you took full advantage of that. Some of you even took photos of yourselves looking in the mirror, and that's okay. That'll show up on Facebook, I'm sure. But I saw a number of you look in the mirror, see that something was wrong with your hair, and fix it. And you had all different sort of ways of fixing it. Some of you just kind of flopped your head like that, and it sort of just waved back where you want it. Some of you are very meticulous about it, moving everything just right. Okay, but you figured out a way to get your hair looking good before you came in. Now, what's interesting to me is that none of you looked in this mirror and said, oh no, my hair's messed up. Hey, Pastor Stephen, you mind if I just borrow that mirror for a second? I need to fix my hair. I noticed that none of you took the mirror from my hands and used the mirror to sort of fix your hair. Nobody did that. I gave everyone that opportunity. No one did it. It might work. You don't know. But you didn't think about that. You thought, oh man, my hair's a mess. I better fix it. We got to do something about it. Hear me now. The law of God is so important. It's so important. In fact, Paul would be the first to say that the law matters and that the Ten Commandments matter. But of course. But Paul, if he were here tonight and he had a fancy mirror that he had taken from his dorm room in the guy's dorm, he would bring this over and he would tell you this. The law, which I have carefully drawn on the mirror, the law is like a mirror. The law is like a mirror, and you look at it, and it reveals that something's not quite right. And that something that's not quite right is called sin. And when you look in the mirror, when you look at the law and you realize, whoa, something's not right. Here is the law, and here am I, and I am not doing very well. The point is not that you run to the wall, to run to the law. Oh no, look at me, I'm a sinner, I'm going to run to the law. No. The point of the law is this. You look at it, you realize you're a sinner, and you run to Jesus. That's the only way. So many of us see the law, we realize we're sinners, and we say we're just going to try harder. And you can spend your whole life trying harder and fooling a lot of people. But Jesus says, no, run to me. I will dwell inside of you. I will dwell inside of you. And then, guess what? The things I want you to do will become the things that you want to do as well. That's the gospel. Now, let's continue our passage because this is just so good. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And then here's what he says. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Oh man, someone came in early tonight and he was just looking so dashing and handsome and dressed up. I said, man, I got to have your help. Dalton, where are you at? Where's Dalton? Oh, you're over there now. Yeah, come on up, come on up. All right, Dalton and I spoke for a moment beforehand, and we planned this out, and we're going to see how it goes. Dalton, come on up here, right here in the middle. Yeah, step right here. Look at this man, suspenders and the tie looks good, and it's a skinny tie. Those are real popular now, so well done, Dalton. You look good. So we want to demonstrate this for just a moment, because it's so critical to understanding how this works. Scripture says, Paul says, that those of us who have been baptized have died to sin. We've died to sin. Okay, so we're going to try something right now. Have you ever seen a baptism? Generally, there's water, and I understand that. But we're just going to try something right here. Okay, so if you'll just reach out like this and like this. Okay, so this is just like exactly what we do with a baptism, okay, except water. And so if you've ever seen a baptism before, the pastor or someone who's doing the baptism, the elder or something like that, will generally say, and now I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? And then they will lower the person into the water, right? Okay, so we've seen that before. So we're going to do that. Just bend your knees a little bit. Okay, yeah. Okay, okay. Perfect. Okay. Good. Okay, that's perfect right there. Now, I attended a church once, and my good friend, Pastor Greg Phillips, whose nephews are here, and yeah, Tommy and Tyler right on, and he did a baptism, and it was like nothing I've ever seen before. He had one of our students up there for this baptism, and they had talked about this before, but nobody really knew that they had talked about this before, and it came time for the baptism, and he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he baptized this student. His name was Stefan. He baptized him. And when he held him under, he just kept holding him under. And it was kind of like that. So all of these people, and the church tends to be, some of the people there are a little older than others, you know, so kind of thing. And people at first were like, oh, a baptism, that's fantastic. Why is that man holding that other man underwater? Right? And then there was this sort of this nervous whispering that happened, and that turned into like nervous giggling. And people, I think, started to almost feel a little bit panicky. And what was happening was that Pastor Greg had given Bible studies to Stefan. He had said, look, baptism at its core is a symbol of death. And so when we baptize people, it's just like boom, boom. But if you think of the water as earth or as dirt, it's a symbol of death. And he said, you may want to just sort of dwell in that moment for a moment and realize that you are dying to an old way of life. And you can do that. In fact, I'll keep you under until you squeeze my arm, and then I'll bring you back up again. But Stefan is a diver. And so I'll tell you what, there has never been so much excitement in a church for a baptism than when after what seemed like forever, I don't know, it was maybe 10 seconds. I mean, it wasn't forever, maybe 10 seconds, something like this, much longer than we're used to. You see, baptism isn't simply about death. But it is. It's about, I'm dying to an old way of life. I am dying to my sinful self. I am dying to a life where it's all about me. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. You know, this kind of thing. I'm dying to that kind of life. Check this out. Oh, this is so good. Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So we're united with Christ in his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that. Have you ever been to a funeral? Yeah, have you ever been to a funeral? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is death, and baptism is resurrection. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank you, Dalton. Let's give it up for Dalton. Thank you so much, Dalton. You see, when I come to Jesus, my life changes. Not because I'm so good and fancy and smart, but because Jesus dwells within me. And I have died to the old way of living, and I now live a new life. Scripture actually says when we are baptized, it's the symbol that we become a new creature. Change happens. And when Jesus lives inside of me, no longer do I obey the law in order to be saved, but instead I want to obey the law because I am saved. And that's a huge difference. In fact, I want to say it one more time. When Jesus dwells within me, no longer do I obey the law in order to be saved. Instead, I obey the law because I am saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, tonight, once again, the most important thing is to keep the most important thing. And the most important thing is a Jesus who wants to dwell in your heart. A Jesus who calls you, if you've accepted him, who calls you at some point in your journey to say yes to him and to say yes to this symbol of baptism with water. Death to the old way of living, alive in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old is gone, and the new has come. Pray with me. Father God, you've done everything. You've paid the price. You've offered the gift. And tonight you call each and every person in this room, students, teachers, community members, myself, you call each of us. And you say those words, if anyone wants to come after me, he or she must take up their cross, die and be resurrected, and then you can follow me. So God, I just pray that tonight in the stillness of each person's heart, that if it's time for someone in this room to say yes to your gift, if it's time for someone tonight perhaps who's already said yes to your gift, but it's time for them to say yes to baptism, to this symbol of being a new creature, I pray that you would lead them, that you would guide them to that decision. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks. We rejoice in the gospel. And everybody said, amen.